الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد، كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم ألهمنا مراشد أمورنا وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا. Normally in the madrasas, we find it much easier. In a madrasa, a person teaches morning and evening. Then when it comes to a bayan, when I saw Zimbabwe made a program for me, it was only like talk, eat, talk, eat, talk, eat, talk, eat. So I don't know how much Zimbabwe wants to talk. But normally in madrasa, when you have class, then it's easy. You just teach whole day. The students also relax, the people are relaxed. The reason is not a bayan. So over the years I became used to this year that I stopped giving bayans. So normally how I teach in the class, we will try to bring about a class environment in a masjid. For a couple of reasons. One is our real dars, our real lesson in life is to be a student of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is why Allah Tabarakallah made that two things were only protected, Quran and His words. It's called the authentic Sunnah. The way He said it, sometimes how He moved His hand, He put His hand on the head. The person said, that's not enough, tell me how He put the hand. He had it open, then He closed it, then He moved it, then He touched the ear. He said everything He wanted to know. He said, I needed to know this. And then the student would do it. Said his mouth moved like this, said, then he'll move his mouth. And amazing when you will read those narrations, you will think, wherever has the movement of an individual been recorded after 1,500 years? Meaning his word is recorded. But when he said that word, what was his movement? Did he smile at that time? Did he frown at that time? Scholars write, the reason that it was so well protected, preserved, is that it was not only that Sahabi who was addressed. Meaning he wasn't the only student. Me and you were the second student. Allah Tabarakallah speaks about this in Quran. When He says, it is the fineness or kindness of Allah that He sent a Nabi to a nation who could not read and write. And He would teach them the book, the Quran. And He would teach them wisdom, which is His advice, meaning the Sunnah. Then Allah Tabarakallah says, وَآخَرِينَ مِنْهُمْ. And it is Allah's kindness that He was meant to be the teacher to another group. وَآخَرِينَ مِنْهُمْ. لَمَّا يَلْحَقُوا. Those who have not yet met up with Him. But He's going to be their teacher. So a Sahabi radiallahu anhu asked, and it's a question, that someone who never met up, how are you going to be their teacher? Who's those people? So at that time, they had two lands, which were superpowers. One was the land of Sham. But in the land of Sham, there were Arabs there also. Many of them became Arab Christian. But it was a land, it was Syria. And then there was the land of Iraq. In the lands of Syria, still they spoke the Arabic words. In the land of Iraq, they spoke Persian. So they never even know the language. The Syrians, they were still closer because they believed in Isa alayhi salam, although in an incorrect manner. The people of Iraq, they worshipped the fire. So in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu, he was from Far East Persia. So it's quite loud. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam put his hands on like the leg of Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu. And it was an example that he gave. He said that if knowledge has to be in the high stars, at that time Suraya was a star for them. If knowledge, ilm, meaning this knowledge of Islam, has to be high in the stars, Allah will create people, and then He said an example, from the progeny of this, meaning from the people of Persia, who don't even know our language. They are fire worshippers at the moment. The chance of them ever coming into Islam is far-fetched. He said, Allah will make people from them. They'll have so much of quest for this, thirst for it, that even if they told the knowledge is in the stars, they'll go looking for it there also. And later on it happens. When Islam reached Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan, the amount of effort those people made to understand Islam. But it never ended with them. Me and you are also part of that wa'akharina. That he will be the teacher of another group who as yet has not met up with him. He'll be their teacher. He's our teacher. He's my teacher and your teacher. And that is why the dars, the lessons of the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is known as the missing inheritance of this ummah. It's our inheritance. He said, the anbiya do not leave wealth. The anbiya do not leave wealth. Nabi Rasul knew the people of his ummah's nature. It's an amazing thing. Any town I go to, two things are discussed. One is money, and one is woman. The woman, nearly every dastarkhan, they'll speak about the second wife, but no one will ever do it. And money, he knew his ummah. He said, the fitna of my ummah is woman. The fitna of my ummah is man. Meaning the test of my ummah. Fitna, normally we think it means problems. It doesn't mean problems, remember this. A lot of people, they hear this word fitna, that Moana gave bayan. He said, in Urdu you say it, and it works in Urdu. In English it don't work so much. That if you said, if you can carry your problems, if you are able to carry your problems, Jannah is for you. Which means that you must be sabr. You got problems, carry it on your shoulder. If you're ready to lift up your problems, carry your problems. So he went home, and he picked up his wife. She asked him, now what? She thought there was a bayan of romance. He said, the Moana said, if you carry your problem, Jannah opens up. What problem? Fitna. Umar radiallahu anhu asked, what is that fitna? He was speaking about the trials that were going to come into Islam. But the Sahabi radiallahu anhu spoke about another fitna first. He said, fitna to rajul. Fitna, then you understand the meaning. He said, Allah will put a test. The test of a man will be in his wealth, in his family. Meaning they're not a problem, they're not a trial, they're a test. They're a test. This world is a test. The child is born, you're so happy, then the child got sick. Child got sick. If you were expecting no test, you will go in depression with the sickness of the child. I was thinking good times are coming. A child came, everyone was so happy. But now I'm going to the doctor, going to the doctor, going to the doctor. You tell the person, why are you sad? He said, I never know it comes with so much of difficulty. Problems. He said, not problems, test. We are going to speak about that, test. That why are we here and how to pass this test. So the first chapter, which nearly whoever sat down to compile the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it seems they felt that this was the first lesson of every madrasa. They would start it as the chapter of ikhlas, and we hear that word always, be sincere. But Imam Nawawi rahimullah, Riyadu Salihin is a famous. And they looked at it that when Nabi Rasul made hijrah to Medina Munawwara. So perhaps this is the first lesson that he gave. Because Medina was now the first madrasa. So he spoke about the first action that happened coming to Medina. Who made the hijrah? Meaning who went through difficulty and why? So I'll explain the points. Ikhlas, everyone knows, called sincerity. Imam Nawawi rahimullah adds one word to it. He says, wa ihdaru niyyah. to continuously remind yourself of why. So what sincerity means, what motivates me forward in life? What motivates me forward in life? If the motivating factor is something more important than me, then I'll be ready to even lose me to get it. What motivates? That boy who's really in love with the girl, and the father says, no way. You'll hear the boy saying, daddy, I'm getting married to her. Father says, then you will not inherit from me. He says, I don't want to. Who doesn't like wealth? Who doesn't like comfort? But when the motivating factor was more important than himself, even difficulties to get that became easy. This is called, what motivates me and you in life? وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ Allah Ta'ala said, it was one command that I had given them all, me and you. What it is? That the motivating factor in our life must be Allah. Motivating factor. لِيَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ I'll give you a few examples and we'll narrate the hadith that was explained. You do something for a friend. He came to the country. He was down. You looked after him. You brought him into a house when there was no one. You looked after him. You got him married. You put him in the business. You opened up something. You all are best friends. But normally best friends, that's why it's mentioned, love a person to a certain level because he could be your enemy one day. And hate a person to a certain level because he could be your best friend one day and then you'll feel bad. So now you brought him. Then he got married. Then he got children. You got children. And normally children, when they get together, they play, 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 and one day they fight. Now when they fight, they'll come and tell the wife, this one did that. Then the wife will say, how he could do that? They'll run to that one. And then the two aunties start fighting. When the aunties fight, a husband, he always says, I'm the boss. But no one is the boss. No one's the boss. So the husband starts fighting. Family starts fighting. You see, all were like brothers once. What happened? He did it. He did it. Try to sort out the problem. The only thing that gets sorted out is who did it. And in the ending, you realize who was wrong, both were wrong. Both were wrong. And the funny part is the children are still playing soccer. They started the fight, they're still playing soccer. And their parents are fighting. If ever you needed someone to give up the fight, he had to have a motivating factor in front, which is more important than your own feelings. So Allah Tabarakallah used Sahaba radiallahu anhu as an example to show, I'll take you to the limits of how you can forget yourself when the motivating factor is something more important. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu looked after everyone. Bilal radiallahu anhu, he purchased and set him free. And if it was someone of his family, then he went out of his way. Now you have a family member, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is sponsoring. Aisha radiallahu anha is his daughter. She's the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the most beloved. When you are the closest, you get the most jealousy. And the enemy targets you the most. So they found an opportunity where they accused her with the worst of actions. She spent the night with a man. He knew nothing about it. She knew nothing. She was so sick. During the day, she never even knew they accusing her. She says, I only could understand that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not himself with me. But I never knew why. He says, and when I heard it, and she had to hear it from the mother of one of the men who also said, so when I heard it, I just went sick. And it's not easy, you're accused of what an act. And how, and young, when you're young, how do you take that pain? But then she was a unique person. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, tell me now, did you do it or not? Even at that moment, her answer was weak. At the time of emotions, a woman, where they can control their emotions. Even at that time, she said, if I say, yes, I did it, I'll be lying. And if I say, no, I never do it, you won't believe me. So she says, I'd rather just make sabr like Yusuf Alayhi Salaam's father. Even at that moment, what a mind she had. What a mind. Now when Allah Tabarakala revealed her innocence and like shouted in Quran, how could anyone even listen to that? So naturally Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he's the father. He's the father. And it was not easy for him. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came to the house, Aisha radiallahu anha said to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, oh my father, answer on my behalf. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu also never want to answer. Because normally a father will say, how dare you accuse my daughter? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu wasn't going to do that. That if my daughter did it, she said, oh my father, answer on my behalf. And Abu Bakr was just quiet. She said, I was like, my father also. I don't know if you did it on that night, what happened? The accusation had spread so much. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, now you get upset. And you look at the person who you looked after so long. And he said, at least you could have thought about who's looking after you. When others spoke about it, you were supposed to defend. Forget defending, you also said something. You lent a tongue to it. So naturally what you will say at that time? You say, after this, forget ever coming back to me. Forget coming to me. Why? Because naturally you hurt. And if you ask, did he have a right to be hurt? If someone attacks your daughter, do you not have the right? You will kill that man. But there was something that motivated them further. He only needed one verse of Quran. وَلَا يَأْتَلِ أُولُو الْفَضْلِ مِنْكُمْ Allah Tabarakala said, people of virtue, meaning people who don't say wrong things, and who Allah gave wasa'a wealth, they should never ever take oaths that they will not be kind to the other. Meaning the other makes mistakes. Because he took, wallah, I'll never help you after this. He said, they shouldn't take these oaths. Ala tuhibbun. He says, do you not like that Allah also overlooks you? Motivating factor. Ala tuhibbun an yaghfir Allah. Motivating. Would you not like that Allah also overlooks for you? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu runs out. This is called a motivating factor. He said, I want it. Abu Bakr wants Allah's forgiveness. Abu Bakr wants Allah's forgiveness. Then he goes, he says, forgive me. Then you'll ever say, forgive me. Say, forgive me. And he doubles the amount he used to give in the past. He doubles it. Allah Ta'ala used them as an example to show if the motivating factor is Allah, you will be able to forgive that one who did you down from the beginning till the end. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's motivation was only one, it was Allah. For which reason, when they came in front, he said, forget the past. Forget it. Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu says, if you had to ask me to describe Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I would not manage. He says, because I know what and what I tried to do to harm him. But when I accepted Islam, he behaved with Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu so bad, so much. He said, there was not a mashwara that took place. Except that he said, wait for Amr. Where's Amr? As though you are the main person of the majlis. He said, I would feel so shy now that I could not lift up my face, my eye to look at his face, thinking of what I had done and how he behaves with me. Motivating factor. This motivating factor comes in life. Then the tests of this world. Allah save us all. We can't manage difficult tests. But this world comes with tests. Tests in your own body. test in your family, test in your wealth, test in your children. A test in where you don't want to see a problem. But when the motivating factor is Allah, like how that boy said, I'll be ready to lose everything to get the girl. A person will say, I'll be ready to lose everything to get Allah. Ready to. And the world saw people like that. So, they saw it. Ready to lose everything but not Allah. Ready to lose everything but not Allah. Our exam, may Allah make it easy for us. It's not a hard exam, like the exam of those people who go through war. But when you visit those countries, Allah gave us the opportunity in His kindness, we visited countries of war. A lot of lessons He gave us. We went there to give help to those people, we think we came back with help. A lot of lessons. Where a person lost everything, everything, everything. But the subhanallah on their tongue, they never lost. Subhanallah, they never lost. Meaning for them, their iman is that everything can go, but my Allah can't go. Everything can go. So the narration, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught it in a unique manner. It had to do with inheritance. Sa'd radiallahu anhu, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu, fell ill. He wasn't going to pass away at that time, but he thought he was going to pass away. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam visits him, and he now speaks about, I'm going to pass away, and I got so much of wealth, and I only got a daughter. Meaning, how much the daughter must take? Daughter mustn't take too much. She got her own husband, he must look after. So he says that, can I give most of my wealth away? Because if I just die and I leave it, then she's just inheriting and she got enough. Why must I worry about her? So can I give most of my wealth? And normally, if you're the imam of the town and a person calls you and he says, Maulana, you know what, I'm thinking I'm going to pass away now. What I must do with my wealth? So Maulana is sharp. Say, give it for Allah. Give it for Allah. So what am I, my children? He says, Allah will look after them. Give it for Allah. See, how you give it for Allah? I say, the masjid. Say, which masjid? The masjid I work at. Say, how come that masjid? Say, my salary will increase. Think about the church. When you visit those countries, they'll tell you the church owns more land in those countries than any other person. So you'll wonder that the church, where you got so much money? The priest. The priest would visit a man before dying. And he would tell him, I see the angels coming, but it's not looking good. Once the priest says that, father is saying that, so the son, daughter starts shivering. What do you mean it's not looking good? He says, I don't know, he had secrets. But it's not looking good. So what to do? He said, you better start giving charity. And the church took. This is not a joke. This is one reason why those European countries hated the church afterwards. They took. They would take every part which they could take of that man before he died. Saying, punishment coming quickly. At that moment, which my daughter is going to say, I let him get punished. Give away that. And those priests were not kind. They would mince him, squeeze him. And then they would say, oh, it's gone, the punishment. Punishment gone, the whole wealth is gone. So the family naturally would start hating the church. Look at Islam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam could have told him, give it all away. Give it all away. He said, I want to give away. He said, one, two-thirds. He said, two-thirds is too much. He said, okay, half. He said, no way. He said, one-third. You can make a wasiyat for one-third. I'm passing away that madrasa, one-third. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi said, permission for one-third. And even one-third is too much. Even one-third is too much. But then the part after that, he explained to him that, remember, even that which you spend in your family, this part of the narration, we only hear it when we get married, and people only try it on the first night, that even that morsel which you put in your wife's mouth, Allah will reward you for that. So everyone who gets married, he only wants to practice on that one. And once off. Once off. Put it. The narration wasn't speaking about that. The narration was speaking about even the food that you have to put on your table, which is your responsibility. And the price of food always goes high. But even that food which you have to put in the mouth of your wife, meaning on the table, for your son, your daughter, you are responsible for the family. وَإِنَّكَ لَن تُنْفِكَ نَفَقَ. You will not spend a single amount. تَبْتَغِي بِهَا وَجْهَ اللَّهِ. Intending with it Allah. Except that day also Allah will reward you. So I'll end on this here. What it meant is, make your motivating factor Allah. Then even if the prices of things rise in the market, and a man says, now I need to work extra hours just so that I can bring food for my family, he will not say it depressed. He will still say it with a smile. He will say, how I could find Allah on the musalla in Nafal, I now find Allah in the business place looking after my family. Because the motivating focus is Allah. Even difficulty will make him smile. For he will say, Allah, if I have to find you here also, I will look for you here. And if some difficulty comes in the body, and people will come visit him, then they'll tell him that, we're so sorry. But he will still smile. They'll ask him, in this state, how can you smile? He says, because the motivating factor is something else. فَإِنَّهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ كَمَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Allah Ta'ala says, remember difficulty. They also experience like how you experience. They, the one who hasn't gotten Allah in front. They also go through difficulty. They go through summer, winter, health becomes sickness. Wealth becomes problems, poverty. They also go through it. كَمَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Like how you go through it. وَتَرْجُونَ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَرْجُونَ. But you can have a hope in Allah which they can't have. You can have a hope in Allah. The motivating factor, may Allah give it to me and you. It will help us break fights. People will say, don't ever forgive him. You know what he did to you? You know what he did to your father, to your mother? Don't you dare ever forgive him. I say, he really hurt me. He broke me. If it was left to me, I'll never ever forgive him. But I'll forgive him for my Allah. Because it motivates. I'm doing it for my Allah. I'm doing it for my Allah. And I do it. Whole fight is broken. That man won't be able to look at you in the face. And sometimes he's so bad, he'll look at you at the face also. He won't even thank you. Get some people out. But it doesn't affect you. I did it for Allah. I did it for Allah. I saw a difficulty. Ayyub alayhi salam saw difficulty. What motivated him to come out of the difficulty? Allah. Allah Ta'ala in Quran spoke of different anbiya alayhi salam. But every one of them, they had some exam, test. They had a test. They had many tests. Allah Ta'ala says that. What motivated them? He says, they were our slaves. They were our slaves. That whatever they had to go, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I saw the plains of Qiyamah, and I saw a Nabi, wa ma'ahu rajulun aw rajulan. With that Nabi, there was only one or two people. When you read that narration, you wonder, that Nabi never gave up. They said, one Nabiya, wa laysa ma'ahu ahadun. And then I saw that Nabi, and there was no one with him. Meaning he gave dawah, and then maybe they killed him. He never gave up. Why? They had something in front of them which was worth it. That is called Allah. The first lesson in the books of Ahadith is وَإِحْضَارُ النِّيَّةِ. Continuously remind yourself what is motivating you. And if it is anything besides Allah, it's not worth it. Because nothing is faithful except Allah. Hazrat Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib would say, Ya dunya be wafa. Wafa ki qeemat nahi jaanti. This world is unfaithful. It does not know the value of faithfulness. Do for the world will spit in your face. Dunya be wafa. Motivating factor must be Allah. Allah is the only one that is faithful to me. May Allah tabarakala make our motivating factor. Allah, and let us continuously remind ourselves, it's only Allah, it's only Allah. When the fight comes, I will forgive Allah for you. All the stories are good. All the stories. To such an extent, the hardest time to remind a person about Allah is when there's a problem between a husband and a wife. I had a chance or an occasion where I had to go into a problem like this. And the man was adamant, I will not let her get 1 cent from me. And it was so hard, but finally we ended on this. That if you know Allah will give you Jannah, if you behave nicely with her after the divorce, then what? So then I said, Allah Tabarakallah never ever said it's haram to divorce. But Allah Tabarakallah said that when you let them go nicely. Sarahan Jamila. Let them go nicely. I said, I know it hurts you. She's the fault. She's the fault. But if I had to tell you, you buying Jannah with that money, will you be ready? Meaning, don't worry about sponsoring that student in the madrasa. How much you give for him? 3,000. Forget about it. You give 10 students, 30,000. Aman, wow. So if I tell you, Allah will give you that reward in putting the money here, you'll give it. Man is quiet. No. Say, why? Say, think about it again. Why? And then you go quiet. Say, it hurts. Say, then do it. Now do it. Because my Allah is more important than myself. And if I know it will make you happy, I'll break myself just to make you happy. This is where people saw dreams. This is where big things happened. Where they broke themselves for Allah. And then Allah made everything for them. Motivating factor is Allah. Even in the hardest of exams, a person will be able to write the exam with flying colors. باب الإخلاص وإحضار النية. Be sincere only for Allah. And remind again and again, why? What's forcing me? What's pushing me? May Allah تبارك وتعالى make us all sincere for His deen. وصلى الله على النبي الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين والحمد لله رب